You are listening to the Torah Sparks Podcast, the podcast that finds and ignites sparks of spiritual light and meaning in anything and everything, bringing out lessons and values straight from the Holy Torah. I am your host, Ori Strum. Let's jump right in. Sometimes I wonder about random things, things about this world, about planet Earth, and it's fascinating to think about its relevance, its relationship, its connection with us. And today I was thinking about a droplet of water. I was thinking, you know, in the ocean, water's constantly flowing. You see water, right? You see it, we see the top of the surface, and it's constantly moving and flowing. So if you think about it, you know, the water down below is also moving. It's also going places, unless it's frozen and on a molecular level, the H2O is barely moving. Water is constantly flowing. That's what it does. And I was thinking about it. Isn't it interesting to think about? Take one droplet of water and think about how far does it travel over the course of its life, right? How far does one droplet of water go? Let's say it starts in this part of the ocean, in the Atlantic. How many miles? It's just an interesting thing to think about. I found a discussion about this. It says, if a drop of rain falls in Chengdu, China, never been there personally, it will flow nearly 2,000 miles away to the East China Sea. In Cochabamba, Bolivia, they might have made up these names, I don't know. But in Cochabamba, Bolivia, rain flows through multiple rivers to the Amazon in Brazil, eventually reaching the Atlantic Ocean more than 3,000 miles away. I mean, interesting stuff. We're talking about a single drop of water. In fact, I found there's somebody created a platform where you could plug in any coordinate, any place in the world, and it sends a drop down, obviously not a real drop, but it sends a drop down, and you can track where that drop, so to speak, goes. So if you drop it in this region, you know, where there's this located river, hey, the water will travel X miles. It's just interesting. A single drop can go so far. And I want to discuss that today in relation to Parshas Pekudei. I want to focus on the idea of small drops and how something so small can take you somewhere so far and take you to amazing places. It's brought down that Pekudei is called Parsha Sheni, you know, that there's the Mishkan Sheni. What's the second Mishkan? You know, the Pasuk begins, it says, Eila Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan, Ha'idus, right? It says Pekudei once, it says Mishkan twice. So, you know, the commentaries point out, you know, why there's this double, this nuance, this verbiage of HaMishkan, Mishkan. The Chassam Sofer actually brings from the Rabbeinu Bechaya an interesting gematria that HaMishkan is gematria 420. How so? Well, you got to add it's the HaMishkan, so it's really 415 plus the five letters, so it's 420, corresponding to Bayis Sheni, which stood for 420 years. And Bayis Rishon is corresponding to the first, the second word, which is Mishkan, which is 410. Bayis Rishon lasted 410 years. So you have HaMishkan 420 corresponding to Bayis Sheni. You have Mishkan 410 corresponding to Bayis Rishon. And then it says, right, it says Ha'edus, which is 479, which is the amount of time from the Mishkan in the Midbar to Bayis Rishon. So it's just an interesting allusion. And why do you have to add the five letters? Why is it Chaser 5, right? For Bayis Sheni, it's really 415, and then you have to add the five letters of HaMishkan to equal 420. Why is it Chaser? So Chassam Sofer suggests an interesting chiddush. He says that because we know that based on the Gemara, that there are five things that were Chaser, five things that were lacking in Bayis Sheni that Bayis Sheni did not have that Bayis Rishon did. So as an allusion to that, he says perhaps maybe that's why you only come onto the gematria through this Chaser. You have to count the five letters. Otherwise, it's Chaser. That's an interesting thing. In terms of a focus on that droplet of water, that miniature, you know, scientifically, psychologically, people love miniature things. People like prototypes. People like small things. There's something visually appealing. There's something, right, even in terms of business and marketing, when it comes to prototypes are a huge thing. You want to get, you know, customers or potential buyers, investors. Prototypes are the way to do it. You create a small, you know, something small that you could see, that you could taste, that you can feel, and then people can buy into it, and then you can make it much bigger. And it's interesting, the same thing in some realm, in some level, happened by the Mishkan. And this would explain HaMishkan Mishkan, where in Parshas Pekudei it mentions the Mishkan twice, that there were maybe perhaps two Mishkans. How are there two Mishkans? Says the Chassam Sofer, a Davar Nifla, something incredible. The Chassam Sofer in Toras Moshe says essentially like this, Mipnei Shema Yolam Los Nasu B'nei Sobam Lecha Sariga. Think about it. The Jewish people were not accustomed to weaving. They were not accustomed to the craftsmanship that was necessary for this special design that was the Mishkan. How did they know what to do? How just were able to jump right into the creation of the large Mishkan? What was going on? L'chein, Amar l'Moshe l'asa tchilat nisayon. Moshe therefore commanded, I never heard this before. Moshe commanded them to make a nisayon, to make a prototype, to make a yiriyah katana, to make a small version of each item that was going to be in the Mishkan. A yiriyah katana, a keresh katan, a briach katan, v'chein kol chelkei ha-mishkan. Every aspect of the Mishkan, Moshe commanded them to make a small version, a prototype, a Mishkan katan. The Kasher Rosh Etzlicha, once he saw that they were successful in doing it in a small scale level, on this prototype of way, the Yecholos B'yadim Lasa, he now sees through this small thing, they're able to do it. Okay, now they could make something bigger. Haru as Dugmas Mishkan LaMoshe, and they saw they were able to do it. Moshe saw, and it was good in his eyes. Az Maser Lahem Moshe as Kol Azav. Moshe then gave all of the Zav, the Chalachimer, Hanidrus, the Bnei Mishkan, everything that was needed for the construction of the Mishkan, and so they did. But I guess you could take this in a bunch of different directions, but one of the messages that I want to bring out from this idea of having a small Mishkan, of having a prototype, it's just a fascinating idea. It shows you the largeness of smallness. It shows you the greatness of many things, of miniature things, of prototypes, of small things. Sometimes, you know, we want to go straight to the big Mishkan. We want to go straight to the big things in life, and I'm going to conquer this, and I'm going to overcome that, and I'm going to read all of this, and I'm going to learn all of that, and I'm going to be the best this. And it's great. It's good to aspire. It's good to dream. We have to do those things. We have to dream about the big Mishkan because one day we want to and hope to be there. But there's a value in focusing on that small droplet, on that small drop of water, and seeing how far that can go, how far that can traverse, how far that little drop can travel, right? Like we say when a baby boy is born, we say, Zeh katan gadol yiyeh. The bracha on some level is that this small thing shall become gadol, shall become big. But right now there's a value in small. It would be a devalue, it would not be good if the child was started off as, you know, 120 years old and was fully grown, or started off as a 20-year-old and was a fully mature. It's good for small things to start out as small, and then we slowly progress and mature and become bigger and bigger. And the Mishkan, HaMishkan, Mishkan, the Mishkan Sheni, there was a second Mishkan, there was a Mishkan Katan, there was a small prototype, and it was important to see that smallness, to value that small, see that you can do it, see that you could do something on a small level and value that, and then take it a step further, then take it up a notch. And I think that it's a practical lesson for us. Focus on the small things, appreciate the small things, and one day, Zeh Katan Gadol Yiyeh, those small things will turn out to be incredibly big, incredibly lofty, incredibly great, just like the transition from the Mishkan Katan, the small prototype Mishkan, to the Mishkan Gadol, to the large one that ended up being constructed in the Midbar. Hatzlacha Rabbah, all the best. Thank you for listening. And Emir Tashem, we'll see you next time.